What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you don't have a clear curriculum for your classroom, it is so overwhelming to try to put that together yourself. Spending hours on Pinterest and Google, pulling worksheets and pulling pieces of curriculum together to make something that works for your classroom. That's why we created the Autism Helper Curriculum and now offer Curriculum Access. Curriculum Access gets you access to all levels and all subjects of the highly differentiated, evidence-based Autism Helper Curriculum. You can have students working on letter identification and working on parts of speech at the same time in our easy-to-use curriculum. We currently have hundreds of teachers using Curriculum Access from all over the world with consistently rave reviews. I want you to join that group of teachers. Now is the time to ask your administrators for Curriculum Access. We have an email template ready to go so you can ask them to set up a demo. Your administrators can jump on a live call with our team members to see everything that's included in the Autism Helper Curriculum Access. Next year, let's reduce the overwhelm. Let's start the year out with a path and a plan and resources to meet all the diverse needs of your students. Let's make next year the year of Curriculum Access. Head over to the show notes to learn more.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism. Step 7 of the classroom setup process is communication. Now, this might have initially surprised you that this is a whole step of the classroom setup process. Like, why do we need to be thinking about communication when we're setting up our room? It's because communication is that important. Communication is one of the main diagnostic criteria of autism. So that means that every child that has the diagnosis of autism struggles in some way with communicating, which means that in every area of your class and in every part of your day, you should be working on building up those skills of communication. Communication and social skills are not just the job of the speech-language pathologist. If your child gets 30, 45, 60 minutes of speech a week, cool. That's some great intensive practice that they're going to get. That's a great opportunity for you as the teacher to learn from the SLP on different strategies to build communication skills. But that is not the only time they are working on these skills. In all other parts of the day, there will likely be a communicative aspect of what the child is doing. So you want to think about this now, while you're setting up your room, while you're moving furniture around, while you're creating visuals, while you're training your staff, because it is that important. Since communication may be a struggle for some of your learners, you want to embed opportunities to communicate in all parts of your classroom. So the easiest way to do this is to start thinking about those opportunities while you're setting up your class. In every center, in every academic area, how are kids communicating their wants and needs to staff and to each other? One of the main things you want to think about is that every single child has a way to communicate in every single inch of that classroom. So for your learners that are nonverbal or have limited verbal skills, that means that their communication system, either a PECS book, an AAC device, or some type of core board or visual system, needs to be available at every single second of every single day in every single inch of your classroom and really the school. That is their voice. That PECS book, that AAC device, that is how they are going to express what they want, what they need, if they feel scared, if they feel unsafe. That is their voice. Chrissy Kelly from Life with Grayson and Parker has this amazing visual she's shared on her page with a picture of one of her boys with a piece of tape over his mouth saying, "You cannot take away my voice." Taking away an AAC device is the same as taping a child's mouth. And we'd all be horrified at the thought of taping a child's mouth shut, right? So you should be equally horrified at someone taking away an AAC device or taking away a PECS book because it is the same thing. So you really want to think about the logistics of how we're storing communication systems, how we're making sure students bring them around the room and around the school. And with AAC devices, the logistics can get tricky real quick. Later in this episode, I'm talking with Sarah, a speech-language pathologist on the Autism Helper team, about all of the logistics involved in making sure communication systems are available to us. So we're going to get more into that in a little bit. So let's jump into my conversation with Sarah. Not only do we talk about some of those trickier logistics behind the organization of PECS books and storage of AAC devices, but she also gives some great suggestions on different centers that you can add in your classroom that really lend itself to a lot of communicative opportunities. I love these suggestions, and these should definitely be on your list of classroom centers. So let's jump in. Sarah, thank you so much. I knew for step number 7, communication, we had to have your input because as a speech language pathologist, you're going to be the expert on this area. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So when coming at the classroom setup process, so thinking about, you know, moving up around your furniture, setting up your data systems, everything that's involved, I think people forget about everything that's involved in communication, whether it be AAC devices or how to teach our staff to kind of evoke more communication. So why is it important to think about this now and not have it be, you know, an afterthought?
Yeah, well, communication is obviously so important because it is how we interact and obviously communicate with our kids. And we really need to think about this from the beginning, because we need to know how can we teach them? So we need to know kind of their level coming in, what's their receptive language skills and what's their expressive language skills, because this will probably reduce frustration and behaviors in the classroom from the very beginning. You know, it'll help them express their wants and needs. And then most importantly, it'll help us be able to teach our kids, because if we're coming at it from a different level, we won't be able to like reach those academic skills and meet their IEP goals.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a great point. I mean, it touches on everything, on academics, on behavior. If you miss out on communication, you're going to kind of miss out on everything else.
Yeah, so like, I mean, just for an example, I was thinking like, you know, if our kid, we need to think of like, how are our kids going to like tell us they need a drink of water or go to the bathroom or they need a break? If we don't have some of these systems in place, what are they going to do? They're going to be really upset. So I mean, just from that standpoint, we need to have some functional skills that they can be able to do. So that's what we need to think about it from the beginning. If not, we're going to be like backtracking and we're going to waste a lot of time at the beginning of the year thinking like, oh man, now I've already wasted a month and I need to like go back and put all these systems in place and figure out where my student is and where their communication levels are.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point too, that, you know, and it's easier to do it while you're in the process of setting up your room because you're kind of already thinking about all these things. So it's like taking it that one step farther and, like you said, adding the visual for, you know, going to get water, going to the bathroom and things like that can really, you know, prevent a lot of behaviors coming up. The bathroom and the water is a good one because I remember one of my first few years teaching, I had a bathroom and a water visual and all those great visuals in the kids' PECS book, but where their PECS book was in a different direction than the door. And I had a student that would always run towards the door. And I was really trying to get him to run to his PECS book and ask for the water, ask for the bathroom. But of course it made sense. He was going to the door because the bathroom and the water fountain was in the hallway. And just yeah. moving those visuals by the doorway made such a simple thing. And then he was able to independently ask to get water. And it turned a problem behavior into an opportunity for communication.
Yeah, like that's like a perfect point, because sometimes I have like the teachers even just put Velcro like right by the door, and then they can go either touch the picture or go bring it to the teacher. So yeah, like right there reduces a behavior already. And that's just like a one simple thing to do.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So thinking about like the structure setup of a classroom, since you're in a lot of classrooms, how do you see like how physically the environment is set up helping kids? And then also on the reverse, there's like some missteps that teachers can make that can really, you know, reduce the opportunities for communication. So how does like the physical structure of the room play a role in that you see?
Well, one thing like that's a good point. Like one thing is using a lot of visuals, because a lot of our kids have some limited receptive skills. So just thinking about the structure, you're going to give them a direction, right? Or go to teacher time, go to this. These kids might not know what the direction is, right? So they're having difficulty following instructions. So setting up the room where there's a lot of visuals, so it might pair with the instructions that you're going to provide. Also, you know, just in terms of communication, where are their communication books going to be set up? Where is the device going to be? One thing I was thinking about too is like, if you have kids with AAC devices, a lot of times we think like, oh, we're going to go, we need to charge them overnight. So we put them away, we put them in the closet, and we forget to get them out the next morning. So one thing that helps is maybe having that a step like in the morning, like if you have your students come check their schedule, maybe right in the schedule is get communication book or get picture book, or on the door you hang a picture of their communication device. So when they walk in the room, that's the first thing we see. And then put it in an area that's easy to get to. Because if they have to climb behind your table or behind other students, that's not going to be, you know, really effective, or it's going to cause some problems. So you don't want it to be interfering with like getting the device. Then we need to think of, if we do want to charge it, like where can we charge it? Maybe we have a separate area, you know, that a table's there and the kids can go charge their device. In terms of sometimes with communication books, like sometimes in my preschool, for example, not each kid has their individual PECS books, and I create PECS books for specific areas in the classroom. So we do breakfast together. So I have a breakfast PECS book. So I make it really easier, like easy to access for the teacher. And I put all the foods that they're going to eat in there. Then we have like, she has like a teacher time area. So we have all the craft pictures, numbers, colors, and then that PECS book is easy for her to access too. So thinking about those things, what are you going to do in that area? What visuals do you need to support their communication? And then also, where are you going to put those communication devices?
And that's a great strategy for staff too, because if you're setting up, you know, the paraprofessional that's at the breakfast area or the teacher that's running an art center or play center, if you have a different textbook there with all of those visuals ready, you're not putting like that burden of running around finding the visual on them because it's all ready to go.
Right, exactly. It just makes it a lot easier. And then when they're easy to access, they're going to be utilized more.
Yeah. If it's right there, you're going to use it. You're not going to like be like, okay, hold on, honey. I've got the perfect visual. Let me go find it. Because especially preschoolers, they're going to be like long gone by the time you get back there.
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk about the logistics for especially AAC devices, but also textbooks, because that's where I always got stuck. And I think a lot of people get stuck when I had, you know, kids that had AAC devices or several kids that had AAC devices, I would start the year being like, this is the year we're going to use these devices all day, every day. And it was the logistics that always became the obstacle. Like the simple thing, like charging, like we all think like this shouldn't be a big deal. Let's charge it. But it is a big deal because if it's dead, you can't use it. So talk about some strategies that you've used for like things like the charging or where it stays during the day or where it goes during centers, how we can make sure kids are bringing it with them. Because that's, I think, what trips people up a lot.
Yeah. And it's going to vary because it depends on our students and our parents. So I have some kids that we send the device home and the parents charge it overnight, which is awesome. But we know realistically that doesn't happen for everybody. You know, but I think if you try to put a system in place and then keep it consistent, that's also going to help. So, like, I know when we were working in the classroom, we had our kids put it in the iPad cart because they could charge it. In our school, we had an iPad cart. They could charge it, put it in there, store it, and then we could get it out easily. Not every room has this. So I would think maybe it could be a paraprofessional's job to plug in the devices at night. Like if they have one job, you know, sometimes they're taking apart a book. So depending, it could be you assign that job to somebody so that every day, and they have like a checklist, just like, you know, they have to put back the binders of, you know, when kids do work, maybe one of their jobs is going to be plugging in AAC devices. But also a really good, another important strategy is for some of our kids, trying to teach them to be more independent about it. I know it's hard at the beginning, but if you can teach your kid, maybe again, have a visual that they need to charge it, because obviously they might, if it dies and they're nonverbal, you know, what are they going to do? They might have behaviors. Maybe you can have a symbol by where the cord is that they could go get it and tell you they can plug it in. A lot of our kids, you know, they use iPhones all the time. They could be responsible for it.
That's such a good suggestion, especially with older kids. Like I love the idea of this, of a picture in the schedule or by their locker.
The picture in the schedule, I think, is important. Like I think teaching them, because I have two kids now and like, you know, they go in, they check in for whatever they're doing and it's get talker, mm-hmm. you know, you can use a visual.
It should be their job. Like you said, like 14-year-olds have cell phones. Like this is something that's as important as a cell phone. That the onus, especially for older guys, should be on them to charge it and get it out and all that.
Yeah, and at the beginning, like I said, I like to even have visuals on the door. You know, sometimes we do like greetings on the door, like hi, so they know when they walk in the door, they say hi or whatever. Put that talker picture or AAC device like right on the door when you come in the classroom. So that should be the first thing they see to kind of trigger your to trigger you and the student, like, oh yeah, we need to get that talker. Cause I agree, when you walk in the door and you have 100 things on your plate, like we're not thinking about it. So if we actually put some visuals up of those devices in the classroom, and maybe if you have teacher time, you know, they get their binder or whatever, maybe put that AAC device picture on their binder or you put it on your teacher time desk. So they know when they're there, these are the materials. Just like you have them get a pencil, just like you have them get, you know, an eraser or whatever materials, that should be on the list.
And it's a reminder for you, like the teacher too, like that, like half the time, I think the visual schedules are like reminding the staff like, oh yeah, we have this next. So it's a good reminder for the staff too.
Like why, you know, I put post-it notes all over the place for myself to remind myself. So I mean, it's the same thing. Like you need those little reminders, like print out like 15 pictures of that textbook or AAC device and post them around your room. So you're like, oh yeah, I need to use that.
Let's talk about with kids that have a dedicated PECS book on kind of making sure, you know, we don't lose all those pictures or replacing them or, you know, having how you store your extra PECS pictures, because the organization can get overwhelming really quickly. So what are your tips for that?
Yeah, and this might be hard. I mean, this is like, as a speech therapist, and I work with another speech therapist, and we use a lot of picture exchange. We have two bins, and they are divided into sections, and we actually store the pictures alphabetically. So a lot of times if we're making pictures, I'll just make multiples. So like we have the A section, so like apple, alligator, you know, all those will be in there. B, not everybody can do that, but like even if you use Ziploc bags, and I think it's easier to store them alphabetically than category, because yeah, we all think of ways to categorize them differently. And I've had so many student teachers, and they'll like, and I like ask them like, hey, can you put these pictures back in? And they'll start like looking like, oh, I was putting this with whatever. And I'm like, no, they're just alphabetical.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, that makes sense. So if you can do that, or like even get a binder, and you know, you have like little, where you have like business cards or any of those type of things, you could do the same concept, like ABC for extra pictures. You know, sometimes when I make a book, I suggest to the teacher, like, take a couple pictures of that book of how it's set up, because like you're saying, they get lost, and then you're trying to remember like, oh my gosh, what were their favorite preferred items that I had on that first page?
That's a really good idea. And so you can tape that photo right on the back of the PECS book. So,
yeah,
you know, and then like have a staff member every Friday reference the photo and fill in the missing ones.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, especially their PECS book should have like those more common ones that they're using all the time. Plus, like you can have like, I have like colors or preferred foods or toys, but you're right. Like, and then I try to group them in their book that way. So it's like all the, you know, on the first page, whatever preferred items or, and then, different categories that way. But then I just take pictures, and you're right, the eight at the end of the week can just like, let's check it. And when you do print out pictures, that's what I was suggesting. Like, I always print out more than one, because when you go through the trouble to make those pictures, it is a hassle. So like, yeah, I usually like make a page of those, you know, 1.5 inch square pictures, and I print out two or three copies, laminate them, then cut them out and put them in, like I said, my storage system of alphabetical, because then you can just go grab it next time.
And you will lose them. Like, I don't know how many times I've gone to like pull change out of my change purse or something out of my pocket, and there's like a bathroom picture or like some visual there that you brought home with you.
Or they get gross. You know, a kid puts it in their mouth. Like, I have that. That's why I have the food book separate for when we do like cooking or breakfast or lunch with my preschoolers, because they get gross. So like, you just want that. And then after a while, you might have to clean them up a little bit, throw a few out.
And the photo suggestion for the PECS book is a great one, too, for your kids that are in those first few phases of PECS, that you can keep, you know, some of the pictures in the same page or the same area. So even though they're still discriminating, it's a smaller field size to discriminate between, because it'll be in the same area that they know to look towards. So
right.
That's a great idea.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So let's think about like the newer teachers, maybe not necessarily a first year teacher, but a teacher that's new to a self-contained room or new to working with children with autism. What are your suggestions for some good centers or activities that are maybe you could do on a regular basis in their classrooms that would really target communication, social skills goals, like a lot of goals that you as the SLP are writing, that, you know, those centers would extend on that? What are some of your favorite center ideas?
Yeah, and this is good because I could talk about this all the time. So one, like I agree, like have centers, and then so I'll talk about some different ones. Like one, you could have a game area. So like if you're going to play games, it doesn't have to be every day, but I love games. So maybe, you know, twice a week included in the centers is games, because that is such a great way. They can always request my turn. So many games. You just think about like target a couple concepts. Don't like be overwhelmed. So like, if you're going to play, I'm just giving you an example, like barnyard bingo. Okay, the focus is going to be like maybe some animals, or if you're going to play Candyland, you can work on some color concepts or any older games too. They can request My Turn. They can request the color that they want. They can tell you the number so they can roll the dice and then find it on, give you the picture like six or on their AC device, like I got six. So games is a great center, and like every week you could do a different game.
And even every day, I'm even on board if you have time in your day. Like, there's, you're right. Like, games are, I love
games. Games are so great, especially like every time my kids, I have them do My Turn because I'm always like, whose turn? So you can have a My Turn picture in the PEX book or on their AAC device. That's a great one to like not always just be requesting nouns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they can say, like, when you're like, what color do you want to start the game? You know, if they're going to have a pawn, and then again, when they roll the dice, like I got six, or even just finding the number, it's something different.
Yeah.
Then
and you know, when a teacher, when you're thinking about, about scheduling your day, my advice is like, which is totally opinion based, is to do all your like heavy hitting academics, IP goals in the morning. And then the afternoon, like, let's face it, after lunch, everyone's like over it. And that's a great time for like a game center, because it's still going to be academic. It's still going to touch IP goals, but it's going to be in a more relaxed, fun way. So that's such a great time to do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, even playing memory, I mean, you're working on them, like remembering different cards, naming vocabulary things, saying if they're similar, if they're different, you know what I mean? Like even when you play memory, it could be like on their AAC device, they could find not same or different, you know, that's a great way to target. And then you can target some of the same concepts, so they're practicing like finding same or different on their device multiple times.
Yeah, love that.
Another thing is I love crafts too. So like I always try to do crafts because you know what? You can request so much stuff with crafts. Like they need glue, they need scissors, they need a pencil, different colored paper. Maybe you're going to be ripping paper. So like they might have to request it multiple times. Like I want more red, I need more green. A lot of times, like, we're making, I don't know, silly faces. They need googly eyes. They need a mouth. So there's so many different ways they can request things, and you just hold them back. So, like, you're not really trying to think of anything else. And those are such common items on an AAC device, like requesting colors, different body parts if you're making, like, you know, let's say, like, an animal face, the number of something, glue, scissors. Those are all easy to find. You don't have to reprogram anything in their AAC device.
And you could do, like, the craft doesn't have to be complicated. I think sometimes we get intimidated by the Pinterest world. Like, you could do a coloring page every day. Like, you could do cut and glue or cut, you know, rip paper into a shape. Like, it could be super simple.
Yeah, like, you know me, if anybody's read the post, the crafts I do, I always try to think of this more simple crafts because then you can focus on the language. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite one is, like, mixing shaving cream, glue, and food coloring. All you do is mix those three things and put it on, but the kids love it. So you can put it on a heart. You can put it, you know, it's a different color every holiday. I would say, like, keep it simple. It can be just cutting paper and gluing it on, you know, in a different shape. So the more they can request, and again, like you're saying, the easier the craft is going to be better because then they can focus on language skills instead of focusing on, like, trying to get all these little pieces in the right area.
Yeah. That's a great paraprofessional led station, too.
Yeah. I also love cooking, so not like you can do it every day, but you know, I do it once a month in a lot of my classrooms with the teacher, but, I know the teacher that I work with when I do the cookie once a month, she on the other weeks does a simple cooking thing. Again, don't make it crazy. It can just be like spreading something on it. You know, we made grilled cheese. She's done it where you've even like just had a vegetable. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, you know, like carrots, and then we make a ranch dip. We just mix some sour cream in a ranch packet, you know, like think of some easy things. It could be making one of those mac and cheese packets, so they just have to again request all the steps, put it in the microwave. This is a great way because kids are so motivated by food. I remember when I first started actually in your room a long time ago, I had a couple students that was really hard to motivate these boys in. They were seventh and eighth graders. And so a lot of times I would do some food activities and not like they're eating a ton, but just because they would actually use their devices to request, like, I want spoon, I want plate, I want fork. every piece.
And with cooking, it's so fun because the reinforcement is directly tied into the activity. It's not like, oh, I'm working for iPad, so I have to do this worksheet or this book, then I get iPad. Like, no, if you want to get the reinforcement, which is eating the treat, you gotta be part of this. You need the spoon to mix the ingredients, and you need to request to get the next thing. So it's so functional and it's so tied into the reinforcer, which makes it, you know, just so amazing.
Yeah. And it's just, again, like a little bit more natural, and that's, and it's so functional for them too. I like love doing cooking because I'm like, this is so important, like a life skill that they're going to need. And they're going to be wanting to request those things at home or out in the community. You know, they're going to be needing different like cooking items and food items. So that's like a perfect way. And then what we've been working on is describing things. So on devices, we always think of just requesting, which is great, but they can tell how it tastes. It's hot, it's cold, it's, you know, sweet, it's sour. They can talk about all those. So I also use that as a great way to describe, use their describing like words on their talkers.
And I love that sample schedule that you gave of how to set this up, because I think that can be intimidating to a newer teacher. Like, I'm supposed to do this by myself. Like, this seems complicated. Is, you know, to do it, you know, your clinician and the teacher together. And I love that you do it once a month, and then the teacher does simple things on the other weeks that she's on her own, like popcorn or something easy. But right. Then you can do something more involved with the clinician. And if you're brand new to this and this seems overwhelming, then just start small. Do one a month is totally right. Manageable.
And then I'll just do one more station because I know I've like got it. But you know what? Another sometimes just keep it simple. But like sometimes I tell my teachers, like, just have a station of doing like adapted books, or just have a station of doing task cards, because sometimes your stations are only 15, 20 minute rotations. So it's like, you can do maybe 1 to 2 adapted books, depending on what it is. And those are really easy. You can have, like, if you're not running it, if a paraprofessional is running it, you can have them do it. And if you see on those books, they get to move pieces, which is great. And you can use their AAC device to, like, for instance, I make some iSpy books. If you're doing, like, an iSpy, a red fruit, they can find on their device, like, apple, and then they can, you know, they put the picture of the apple in the book in the right spot, and then they can find it on their device, like anything to get them to use their device. And some of those, that might be a good way with the paraprofessional, because yeah, they're just naming some nouns, those are a little bit easier to navigate, but it's still getting them to use their device. And then you can expand it, like, I see, you know, whatever they're talking about in the book.
Yeah, that's a great, and it's such an easy center to set up. Like, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, you just have the book, and sorry, I'm going to just jump in one more thing, but like, I was thinking of those counting ones too, like where that's like, whatever, you know, we were just doing St. Patrick's Day a while ago, so like, leprechaun, what do you see? Like, I see 3 rainbows. So they're putting that in. I have them reinforce that on their device, because that's great for the aid. They don't have to make up or create something like we do. They can just have their kids say, like, I see 3 rainbows. So they're kind of copying the sentence, but again, you're still working on it. It's a way to get the somebody else to help the students use the device, you know, before doing like a hard activity.
And all of these centers that you've talked about, you know, an adapted book or cooking games, all these centers that we've been talking about are just going to extend all of the work that they're doing in their speech sessions, and then generalize. Because like you said, it's with a new person. It's with the teacher, with the paraprofessional, with different peers, and maybe different materials. So having those centers in your class, it's going to be, you know, you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck from the speech sessions, because they'll come in and work with the clinicians and then get all this extra practice during the week.
Yeah. Awesome. I love when the paraprofessionals work with the students, because they're so great. And then they're like, I didn't know they could do this. Yeah. Or like, I didn't know they like got their talker to do this. And they always tell me when I come in, and I'm like, that's so awesome. Like, yeah, like, I'm so glad they did that.
That's the best. And that's what you want. You want to get like the team excited about it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. These were such great suggestions. Thank you for sharing your expertise.
Yeah, thanks.
So many great suggestions there. I hope that you learned a lot. Let's loop back to what I said at the start of this episode. Communication is so important for our kids that we have to include and think about ways that our children will be communicating in every area of our classroom. And remember that point that I really drove home in the start. You need to make sure that every single student has a voice at all times in every part of the school. So that means carrying those ASD devices around. That means bringing textbooks with. That means making all the visuals, because it is going to help not only our kids, but our team and our classroom so much if we ensure that our kids are having a successful way to communicate all the time. So this is the end of step 7, which means this is the end of the 7 steps for setting up a stellar autism room. And like all things we talk about, these are not something that you can check, check, check and just be done with on day 2. You know, I wish it was like that. But these are things that you're always going to be working on. It might not be something you accomplish week 1, month 1, or even year 1. And it's going to be something that is always evolving. Let's go back to that episode 3, I think it is, of the podcast, The Growth Mindset for Special Education Teachers. All of these areas might not be something that you have fully mastered yet. Maybe you can't quite wrap your brain around the data thing, or maybe you're really struggling to get schedules down. You're not good at those things yet. You'll get there. It's a learning process for you as the teacher. We have to learn about our students and about the best ways to teach them and create a classroom that is a safe and open learning environment for them. So maybe now it's time to go back to step 1 and re-listen to some of them, because you'll be able to learn different things at different times throughout the year. We get stuck in routines sometimes, and we want to make sure that we're always thinking outside of the box and making sure that we're really considering the needs of our students and not just the way we've always done things. So be constantly challenging yourself as an educator on making sure that everything is set up in the most optimal way possible. If you would have told me a few years ago that my favorite part of my job is getting up in front of sometimes a few hundred people and giving a presentation on data or behavior academics, I would have thought you were crazy. I did not always like public speaking. Actually, to be totally honest, public speaking was something I used to be pretty afraid of. But now it's literally my favorite part of my job. I love being in a room of my people, of the special ed world, teachers and parents and clinicians, and everyone that's on the front lines that's working so hard for our students to give them the best opportunities and the best classroom experience. I love being in a room of everyone that understands how hard this job can be, but also how amazing it is and how important those little victories are on a daily basis. When I do a PD, my goal is to bring value. I want to bring action items, ideas and strategies that you can do tomorrow in your classroom. I have sat through too many professional developments that either didn't apply to me or were too hypothetical and philosophical. And my special ed heart always wanted to know, what do I do next? What do I do tomorrow? If you are interested in learning more about how I can come to your school to do a professional development, please visit theautismhelper.com/speaking. There's a contact form as well as a lot of information about all of the different sessions I give. I'm happy to answer any questions and work with your school district. Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on.
That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.